The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Lexington Community Radio or its board of directors. The views expressed are solely those of the programmers.
You are listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
Welcome, everybody, to Off the Cuff. I am Adam Banks coming at you live from Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for tuning in to WLXU 93.9 FM. In addition to listening on the radio, you can check out our Facebook live stream at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, or you can download the Radio Lex app on your smartphone device to listen anywhere in the entire world. You can also stream live from the website at radiolex.us. I am broadcasting from the Deborah Hensley Studios here at Radio Lex on North Limestone. It is June the 22nd, 2023, 4:01 to be exact. We are officially, ladies and gentlemen, in the summertime, one of my favorite seasons of the year. Most people say that summer is their favorite season. Ever since I became a college professor, it's definitely one of my favorite seasons. Fall, I still think fall is number one, but summer is definitely number two because of so many factors. One, I'm off for the school. Two, the weather is outstanding. And the Cincinnati Reds, which I'll get to the Cincinnati Reds a little bit later because, my goodness, what a streak they're on and how fun it's been just to watch them as of late. But it is summertime, and summer officially began June the 21st, which was yesterday, and it was the longest day of the year. I believe it got dark around 9:30, 9:45-ish, which is crazy to be outside at 9:30 and see that there's still daylight outside. But that means we're now, every day, on the decline of getting darker and darker and darker every day until the time rolls back again for the winter solstice. But we are in summertime, folks, and just because we like to do this here on Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, we love to talk about facts, we love to educate the audience, why not start the show out with some summertime facts for your day? Now, we've never done this on the show where we've talked about seasonal facts. You know, I don't like to be redundant. I don't like to talk about things we've already talked about. So for the next four seasons, we're going to be giving seasonal facts about each season. So let's start with the best, summer. The first day of summer is called the summer solstice, and it happens around this time every year. The summer solstice definitely has the most daylight. The name summer solstice means still standing or stopped sun. The sun appears higher in the sky in the summertime. Another summer fact is July is the hottest month of the year. Another fun fact for summer is the hottest part of the day is between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. So don't be getting ideas to cut your grass around that time because you could pass out, have a heat stroke, get too hot. It would be bad news for everybody involved. July has the most lightning storms. Fire season starts in July, too. This is when wildfires are most likely to spread. Sunlight helps your body make vitamin D. It also gives you a feel-good chemical in the brain called serotonin. So if you're looking for a way to get happy and on a way to feel good, you can do that naturally by just getting out and enjoying some sunlight. Another summer fun fact, animals and insects are busier during the summer until the day gets too hot. So I guess they're working hard or working hard at it. Who knows? Animals love the summer because they have plenty of food to eat. In the summer, animals don't need as much shelter from bad weather like floods or snow. Another fun fact for summer, many animals spend summer raising their babies. Summer is the only time you can see lightning bugs glowing. The rest of the year, they hide underground. Which always freaks me out to think about things that are under the ground or hiding in the summertime, because just because you don't see things in the summer doesn't mean it's still not out there. For instance, snakes. Do you think just snakes disappear in the summertime like they don't exist? No, they're around still. They're just hiding in their hiding spot. That's called a den. And if you run into a den, a snake den in the wintertime, you could definitely fall into a pit of snakes. And they're asleep. I don't know what would happen if you woke them up during their winter hibernation, but I don't want to fall in a pit of snakes to find out. Another fun fact for summer, crickets make different chirping noises depending on the temperature. They chirp faster when it's hotter. Baby sea turtles hatch in June and July. They usually wait until nighttime to leave their nest and head for the water. Dragonflies do headstands to turn their body away from the sun to stay cool. Some animals like elephants, hippos, and pigs use mud to stay cool. They dig into mud and cover their bodies. This is called wallowing. Dogs, foxes, and coyotes pant to cool off. So if you ever wonder why dogs like to go, it's because they're trying to cool off and they're too hot and they're trying to cool their bodies. There's always a reason for everything, folks. If you're wondering why dogs do that and pant, there's a reason behind it. Humans sweat to cool off. When the sweat evaporates off of our bodies, it cools us down. Bees bring water droplets into their hives to keep it cool. The bees fan the water with their wings and cool the hive with their evaporating water. Reptiles like snakes and lizards hide in the shade or in burrows to stay cool, so keep away from those shady places. Anytime you see a shady, cool area that might look good to go hang out in, don't do it, because there's a good chance a sneaky snake would be in there chilling with you. Kangaroos will cover their arms and bodies with spit to stay cool. As their saliva evaporates, their bodies cool down. In the summer, trees have all of their leaves. Leaves are the greenest in the summer and can form dense canopies. And that, folks, for right now, is your summertime facts. I have plenty more summer facts to give you, and I will spread them out periodically throughout these summer shows. But I just wanted to get you a good head start on some summertime facts. We have a great show ahead of you today, so stick with us, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. What you hear in the background is the theme music for the long-time running game show Wheel of Fortune. And I play it, folks, because it has been announced that Pat Sajak is preparing to spin the wheel for the very last time. He has confirmed the news in a tweet last Monday saying, "Well, the time has come. I have decided that our 41st season, which begins in September of this year, will be my last. It's been a wonderful ride, and I'll have more to say in the coming months. Many thanks to you all." A sad day. I cannot believe that Pat Sajak is quitting one of the best gigs that you can get in television. I mean, really, how hard is it to host Wheel of Fortune? And I've given Wheel of Fortune facts on this show before. I did a whole episode on fascinating facts about that game show, and you can check that out in our archives. But I think they film the whole season in like 14 days, and they film all day. Like, they start at 8 in the morning, and they film all the way up to 8 at night. So they film like 6 or 7 episodes in one day, and they film for like 14 days, and then they're done. Why would you give that up? Now, he is 76 years old, so he's got some age behind him. I don't know if anybody wants to be on TV at 80. My man Bob Barker retired at the age of 80, who's 99, by the way. Pat Sajak has hosted Wheel of Fortune since 1981, when he took over the original host of Chuck Wehrle. Fun fact about Chuck Wehrle: he is an alum of Morehead State University, which is my alma mater. But Pat Sajak and Vanna White, who is the lady who turns the letters, or touches the letters rather, these days, have been the longest serving host in any television program in game show history. Pat Sajak became the host of Wheel of Fortune in 1981 after Chuck retired. He continued his hosting duties as Will became syndicated in 1983 and has since hosted various spinoff shows, including 2021 Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. He is from Chicago, Illinois, and he has won one Daytime Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award, and it was awarded to him in 2011. And he also earned three additional Emmys for his work hosting Will. This show has been a primetime show on TV for the last 40 years, right next to Jeopardy. I mean, it has been a staple in American homes for 40 years with Jeopardy. And since Alex Trebek retired, we've seen a little familiarity with Pat Sajak and Vanna White, but now that Pat's gone, oh time, where are you taking us? So many people are wondering, who's going to replace Pat Sajak? Well, several names have been tossed around and surfaced as a possible replacement. The biggest I've heard is Ryan Seacrest, who recently exited the Live with Kelly and Ryan show. He would be good at it. I mean, Ryan does good at anything he does, so wouldn't be a bad gig for him to take. Whoopi Goldberg expressed interest in wanting to host Wheel of Fortune. She announced on The View that she has a slight desire to host it. I mean, why not? You could get away from those women you sit with at the table and go do your own thing on a fun game show. But who knows? I'm sure there'll be additional guest hosts throughout the coming months, and they'll probably take their pick based off how well they do in the guesting spot. Another name mentioned is Maggie Sajak, which is Pat Sajak's daughter. She has hosted the show before, and she did really well and got really good reviews. Vanna White has been rumored as taking over as host, but why would you? You've got the easiest job in America, standing over there, looking good, touching letters, and wearing very expensive evening gown dresses. I think she makes something stupid, like $12 million a year as well. So, like, she's got her thing going on. I don't see her taking over full-time hosting duties. But somebody's going to take the job. Wheel of Fortune's not going anywhere. It's still going to be prime time, same spot, CBS, right next to Jeopardy. But will it survive without Pat? People can say Jeopardy is. I don't really think it is. I don't see that show lasting another 5-10 years. People get so attached to the host, almost as more as the game show itself. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So many great moments on Wheel of Fortune throughout the years, and it made me start thinking of some of the funniest and greatest moments in Wheel of Fortune history, because there's been a lot. And some of my favorite moments in Wheel of Fortune history is the flubs, the bloopers, because there's no reason for me to go over how the game is played. We all know how the game is played. You have to guess the puzzle. That's what Wheel of Fortune is. And I love it when contestants try to solve the puzzle and they get it wrong by saying something silly or maybe even mispronouncing the answer to the puzzle, because you are not allowed to mispronounce it. They will count it wrong. So I started doing some digging, and I have compiled a list of some of the best and worst Wheel of Fortune puzzle solves throughout its historical run. And there's been many, many historical puzzle solves, good or bad. And let's start with some great puzzle solves. And these are puzzle solves that even stunned Vanna and Pat Sajak himself, because sometimes you might be given one letter for a clue in Wheel of Fortune, and anybody in their right mind wouldn't be able to guess a puzzle with just one letter. But guess what? There have been contestants that have loved this show so much and have watched for so long and have studied for so long, knowing they're going to be a contestant on the show, they guess it. They make the impossible possible. So let's look at this instance for an example. It's called the One Letter Wonder. Caitlin Burke, she was a 26-year-old fashion editor from New Jersey, and she stunned the audience and the host, Pat Sajak, when she solved the 7-word puzzle, "I've got a good feeling about this," with just one letter revealed the letter L. She later confessed that she had been practicing her puzzle-solving skills by watching the show every night with her family. Let's take a listen to this unforgettable Wheel of Fortune moment.
Caitlin.
L.
One L.
Did you really solve?
What's that?
Can I solve?
Okay.
It is a prize puzzle.
Yeah.
I've got a good feeling about this.
That's right.
Woo!
Now, how'd she do that? I mean, how do you do that? How do you have that many letters on the board still yet to be solved, and you solved it with one letter being given to you? One letter. L. Amazing. All right, let's take a listen at another one. They call this one the last second comeback. Matt DeSanto, he was a 27-year-old retail worker from Pennsylvania, and he was trailing behind the entire game in the final round with only one letter revealed, which was E. He managed to solve the three-word puzzle, the Lone Ranger, in just a few seconds. This shocked the host, Pat Sajak, and the audience, and it was this puzzle solve that put him back in the lead, and it made him win eventually $91,000 in cash prizes. So let's take a listen at this unforgettable puzzle solve.
And the category is character. Whoa, Matt.
The Lone Ranger?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm never going to do this again. I'm just going to keep bugging.
E was the only letter up there. E. How do you get the Lone Ranger out of the letter E? I don't know. Maybe him and Vanna White had a thing for each other, and they were just, I don't know, maybe she was whispering to him from afar. But I don't know. Let's take a listen at another fascinating puzzle solve. They call this one Shaggy and Scooby-Doo because that was the answer to the puzzle. So he was given just one letter and solved it. Let's take a listen.
I'll take an S.
There you go. We got one. $500 for each of the two S's.
So we got two S's. That's all he has. And they give you the category of what it could be. It's fictional characters. And he got two S's on the board. So let's see if he guesses it.
I'd like to solve.
Well, you know, if you solve, there's a $7,000 jackpot. Go ahead.
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Whoa! I'm impressed. Thank you.
Wow.
Now, just like the fascinating contestants that get these answers right, there's always the ones that are fascinating because they get these answers wrong. And the following ones that I'm going to play are the ones that even a two-year-old could get right because pretty much every letter was on the board and all they had to do was fill in one letter and they still got it wrong. Or sometimes people will mispronounce things and because of that they get it wrong. And then sometimes people just don't use critical thinking or they don't think outside the box and they just can't get it right. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not the one on TV going in front of trying to guess a puzzle in front of millions of people. So I guess the pressure is on. But let's take a listen at some epic Wheel of Fortune fails when they try to solve the puzzle. For instance, the correct answer for this puzzle solved was she ended up saying bridal and gold shower instead of saying bridal and cold shower. She said bridal and gold shower. Let's take a listen.
There is a W. You going all the way here or not?
I'd like to solve.
Okay.
Bridal and gold shower.
Sorry. Janet, your turn.
I'd like to solve.
Okay.
Bridal and cold shower.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, there is such a thing as a gold shower. So she wasn't unnecessarily wrong with guessing a correct statement or a correct thing. She just got the wrong guess on this puzzle. She said Gold shower, which is a thing. And if you want to know what that is, just look it up. All right, coming up next, folks, on the list as an epic fail, and this is one of my favorites, and some people say this quite possibly is the worst Wheel of Fortune fail of all time, because this in particular contestant was doing so well, and he was winning so much money, and he was spinning the wheel, he was guessing letters, even after knowing what the correct answer was, he was just guessing the letters because he was trying to make more money. And then when it got finally time for him to solve, he mispronounced Achilles. And I don't even know what he said. Achilles is how he pronounced Achilles. But because of that, he failed the puzzle solve. Let's take a listen.
With $7,500 right down there, if you would. You got that and $2,800 cash opportunity.
Let's spin, Pat.
Yeah, four L's. Pick that up, turn it over.
He got $1 million spin just now, so he just won $1 million if he can solve the puzzle.
$650. Why?
There's a why. $500.
G.
One G. $700. Yeah, there are two C's. Well, wow. Okay.
Nice solve.
Oh, well, that'd be a good idea, yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
I can't accept that.
Okay.
Shelby.
I'll solve.
Yeah.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Yeah, that's it. Well.
That would be worse than just not getting anything right. Mispronouncing the word, letting the whole world know that you cannot pronounce Achilles, which my man just, he did. He got nervous. So it happens. It happens to the best of us. Pretty bad epic fail, but also pretty funny epic fail. All right, coming up next on my list as a epic fail in Wheel of Fortune puzzle solves, we call this one Magic Jand. That's exactly what she said. Instead of saying magic wand, she said magic jand. Take a listen.
I believe every letter you called is in this puzzle.
So every letter was lit up except W.
Boy, call the right letters, didn't he? It's a thing. You have 10 seconds. Can he do it? Good luck.
Magic hand, magic band, magic... Yan, sand, van, can, jan, pan, fan, fan.
One, dude.
Oh!
One.
Wow,
and looks so handy.
I'm sorry, you had that sound in your mind.
I did.
I'm sorry, you fooled me with that one. I didn't think it was happening.
Wow.
Well, it's a weird game, and you just never know. I'm really sorry. I'm going to show you this. Feel doubly bad about. I have to show you.
This is what he would have won if he would have got it right.
This would have been nice.
A Prius.
Well.
So that is unfortunate. All right, sometimes when people guess the answer to the puzzle, they sometimes say things that would never be put on Wheel of Fortune, so I don't even know why they would guess it. For instance, the category here was people. Let's take a listen to hear what she said that her guess was when she tried to solve the puzzle.
People, your time starts now.
A group of pill pushers?
There's some things you just can't say, and he said it. All right, here's another hilarious one. Everybody knows Johnny Cash. What's that song called? My in-studio guest, you guys know Johnny Cash, right? You know who they are. What's that song he sings? I blank the line. What's the word? Come on, you guys know it. Walk! I walk the line. Well, let's take a listen to what this contestant said on the puzzle solve. Instead of saying I walk the line, she said this.
Either buy a vowel or spin the wheel.
I'll solve the puzzle.
Go ahead.
Johnny Cash?
That is not correct. I'm sorry.
I Have the Wine by Johnny Cash is not correct. It's I Walk the Line. So, gotta study up on your music, contestants. All right, just a few more here. Here is another hilarious guess. This is fictional characters. And, of course, the correct answer was Superman and Spider-Woman. And this is what this contestant said.
There are two R's. So,
we'd like to solve the puzzle. Superman and Spider-Woman.
No, that is not.
Wonder Woman.
David and Anna, it's your turn. You have no money. I don't know which one
we'd like to spin.
Okay.
Superman and Spider-Woman. I think they should maybe create a Spider-Woman. It could go somewhere. I mean, they did Wonder Woman based off the whole Superman character. All right, and finally, one more here of some of the, and this list is being some of the best and worst puzzle solves in Wheel of Fortune history. And this last one, the correct answer was Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa. And remember, you can't get the puzzle right if you mispronounce the name. And every contestant, when going to solve this, mispronounced the names. So eventually, it just kept going round and round and round until they got the pronunciation correct. Let's take a listen.
Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa.
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 No. George, you want to try to...
I'm trying to solve a path.
Yeah.
Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa.
There you go.
There it is, finally. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is some of the best and worst moments in Wheel of Fortune puzzle-solving history. It's not going to be the same without Pat Sajak, no matter what anybody says. He was such an icon in the TV industry, an icon in the game show industry, and it makes you wonder, who is the most famous game show host out there today? Is it Steve Harvey? Is it Wayne Brady? I don't know. It definitely was Alex Trebek and Pat Sajak, but now with their respect, well, maybe Drew Carey these days on Price is Right. So I don't know. I think it's between Steve Harvey and Drew Carey. But before, it was always Alex and Pat. But now that Pat's gone, that's a wrap on Grandma's television at 7 o'clock on CBS weeknights. But, ladies and gentlemen, I thought you would enjoy that. We're going to take a quick break. We still have lots more Off the Cuff with Adam Banks coming at you live after these words. We'll be right back. Everybody to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. They played this theme music a lot at the Reds game this past week. That's where I've been. I've been in Cincinnati watching the Reds. This is the theme music from the old game show, The Match Game. And they played this because they do like a little match game at Great American Ballpark where they pick a member from the audience to participate in the game where they got to pretty much play the match game, just matching things. And they play this theme as they're guessing. I did a whole segment on this show of the greatest game show theme songs of all time. So we're not going to go down that rabbit hole again. But there are something special about game shows. We had a whole segment on our last segment about some of the best and worst Wheel of Fortune puzzle solves of all time. But it made me just start thinking of just game shows in general. And some of the best game shows that existed, there's been a lot. Price is Right, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, The Match Game, The Newlyweds Game, Let's Make a Deal. So many. And because of the great game shows that have existed, there have been many good game show catchphrases that have came from these game shows that instantly remind you of the game. And it's these catchphrases have become a part of pop culture. So it made me start thinking of some of the best game show catchphrases of all time. And we got to start with one of the most heard catchphrases, "Come on down." famously made by Bob Barker on The Price is Right. I mean, whether you hear Johnny Olson, who is the announcer from that show, Bob Barker, or Drew Carey these days say it, you instantly recognize what show is on. You know what show that came, you know where that catchphrase come from. And what I love about Come On Down is it is a part of pop culture. Those listening at home, you've probably heard people say, so-and-so, come on down, when they're just trying to make reference to somebody coming down an aisle or something. But it's catchphrases like that that have carried over into pop culture. Like this catchphrase from Wheel of Fortune, I'd like to buy a vowel. Ain't you ever heard people say that when they're trying to figure out a word or pronounce a word or spell a word? They're like, well, I'd like to buy a vowel, Pat. That's a catchphrase that is famous and has carried over into pop culture. Another great game show catchphrase is, survey says. How many people have you heard say that? And how iconic is just that catchphrase, survey says, comes from the game show Family Feud. What about, I'd like to phone a friend? That come from the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was one of my personal favorite game shows. I only liked it, though, when Regis. When Regis left it, I was done with it, which is further proof as to why a host can really make or break a game show. When Regis left and they got Meredith Vieira to be the new permanent host, that show went downhill. But I'd like to phone a friend. How many times have you used that in pop culture reference? When you don't know the answer to something, you'll be looking at somebody and you'll say, I'd like to phone a friend. And people knows where that come from. What about this catchphrase? Deal or no deal? You can say this to people when they're getting ready to make a crucial decision. You can say deal or no deal. And that obviously comes from the famous game show, Deal or No Deal, which was a great game show. I hated to see that go off the air. It was hosted by Howie Mandel, and this is a really fun game to play on arcade or PlayStation if you have that. Even though it's just guessing boxes, there's still something fun that works in this game that makes it fun, and people enjoy it. What about this catchphrase? I'll take blank for 1,000, Alex. This is another catchphrase that you can use when you don't, or when you're trying to figure out something or figure out a category or figure out a situation. You'll say, I'll take blank for 1,000, Alex, or I'll take this for 500, Alex, which is an iconic catchphrase. And then finally, an iconic game show catchphrase is, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. And many people found this game show catchphrase to be insulting and demeaning. Others thought it was a great hook. I felt like it was a great hook because whatever your opinion is of The Weakest Link, this phrase has been cemented into pop culture, and that line caught on. It was delivered by Ann Robison. She was the original host of The Weakest Link and my personal favorite. I don't like Jane Lynch, whoever they got on there now, but Ann Robison is the lady that she was the little short lady with the glasses and short hair that made that catchphrase famous. But yes, those are some great catchphrases from game shows, and those catchphrases made their way over to pop culture, and I definitely consider those to be the best game show catchphrases of all time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you enjoyed that, and I think that that would be a perfect segue into our song of the week. So, ladies and gentlemen, roll down them windows, enjoy the cool breeze, and listen to a little Borderline by Tame Temple. We'll be back after the song. This seems like a good time to go ahead and reveal this week's quote of the week, brought to you by Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. And this quote comes from Gordon Hinckley. And he was an American religious leader and author who served as the 15th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from 1995 until his death in January 2008 at the age of 97 years old. So I guess you can take what a 97 years old to be something of value because they're doing something right to live that long. But the quote of the week comes from Gordon, and the quote is this: "You can't plow a field simply by turning it over in your mind. To begin, begin." You can't plow a field simply by turning it over in your mind. To begin, begin. And what this quote is talking about, folks, is plowing a field. I remember my papaw used to tell me this all the time because my sister, she went to UK. My sister, she majored in medicine. My sister, she joined a sorority. And she did her thing in college. And all throughout our lives, we were always kind of side by side doing things. We went to the same grade school. We went to the same middle school. We went to the same high school. And then when she went to college, she did her own thing. And I remember when it was time for me to start college, my papaw said, "Adam, it's now time to plow your own field." And I used to, it just really stood out to me when he said that. Plow your own field. That means make your own way. Do your own thing. And that's exactly what I did. I went to a different university, majored in something completely different, and had a college experience completely different than what my sister had because I decided to plow my own field. But in this quote, it says to plow your, you cannot plow your own field by just thinking about how you're going to do it. You actually have to go out and do it. And you can apply this to anything in your life. If you're wanting to go out and start a business, you'll never be able to go out and start it if you don't begin. If you just turn it over in your mind over and over and over and start thinking about how can I start this? This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to succeed at it. This is what could happen. This would be so cool. This would be so valuable. This would be so successful. Just by thinking about it and turning it over in your mind over and over and over, it will never get plowed. You'll never plow your field by just turning it over in your mind. So to begin, you just have to begin. You just have to start it. You just have to do it. Thinking about it in your mind is not going to do you any good. So you just have to begin. Nike said it best, just do it. So what Gordon Hinckley says here is to begin, begin. You can't plow a field simply by turning it over in your mind. You just have to go out and do it. So if you want to start a business, you want to put out a podcast, you want to start a singing career, you want to start your own radio show, you're never going to do it by just sitting around thinking about how you can do it and how good it would be if you did it. You have to go out and do it. And that's this week's quote of the week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we still have one more segment to go. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you, last segment of the hour. Wagon says on the show thread, "Deal or No Deal is my favorite slot machine in Vegas." Wagon went out to Vegas, folks, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago and had a rock star time. I think he went out there during March Madness, put a bunch of money on that Kansas. Who'd Kansas play? It was like an upset. Berman? Somebody. And ended up winning. And then he ended up not only winning that game, but he took all the money he won from that game and put $100 on the letter or the number 18 on roulette and hit it. So what would, Dale, how much money would $100 be on one number in roulette?
$3,500.
That's a ton of money, and that's what he won. All right, Donna on the show thread says, "I think the field you plowed was a little more fun than your sister's." I would have to agree with that. I don't think Sarah really enjoyed her college experience. That's hilarious, Donna. My field was definitely more fun than what Sarah's field was. It had a lot more scrumptious vegetables in that field. But the music, folks, that you heard on the entrance of this segment, where did it go? Here it is. This is the NBA theme music. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, here we go again. I thought this crap was over. I didn't think he was going to talk about the NBA anymore. Well, folks, we have to, because tonight is the 2023 NBA draft on ESPN at 8 o'clock. So let's preview the draft. It is the 77th edition, and it will be held in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. And this year's draft will consist of 58 picks instead of the typical 60 due to the loss of a second-round pick for both the Chicago Bulls and Philadelphia 76ers for violating the NBA's tampering rules during free agency. This was the second straight season where the NBA draft held only 58 picks instead of the typical 60 due to tampering violations. So the teams that will get the top five picks. The first pick will go to San Antonio. The second pick will go to Charlotte. Third pick will go to Portland. Fourth pick will go to Houston. And the fifth pick will go to Detroit. So let's preview who is projected to be the top five picks in this year's draft. Now, this comes from my draft source. That is, I don't know if I should give you my source of where I get my source, but most of the time, folks, if you go back and you listen to my preview draft shows, I always get it right. Good, bad, or the ugly, I get it right. So the overwhelming number all, the number overall pick in the NBA draft, who will go to San Antonio, is the 7'2" Victor Wembanyama. He is from France. Second pick will be Brandon Miller from Alabama. Third pick, Scoot Henderson from the G League. Amen Thompson will be the fourth pick, from, and he will be picked to Houston. And the fifth pick, the projection, is Cam Whitmore. He's from Villanova, and he could go to Detroit. And those are your top five projected picks in this year's draft. But let's talk about the Kentucky players. This being a Kentucky show, let's talk about the Kentucky players that are trying to get drafted this year. There's only two that's on the board to get drafted. Oscar Tshiebwe, Jaken Toppin, Chris Livingston. They're also putting their name in the hat to be drafted, but they're not on the draft boards. So go ahead and mark it down. Chris Livingston, Jacob Toppin, and Oscar Tshiebwe will not get drafted in this year's draft. You will not hear their names called in the first round or second round. So, but these two, Cason Wallace will be the player that everybody knows is probably going to get drafted from Kentucky. He'll go, according to my sources, he's going to go 15th. And I don't know who's got the 15th pick, but that's where they're saying that he's going to go. Oh, Atlanta, the Atlanta Hawks. So Cason Wallace is projected to go 15th to the Atlanta Hawks. And then Chris Livingston is projected to go number 59 in this year's draft, and he will be going to Washington if he makes it to that spot. And those are the only players that are projected to get drafted. In the latest mock drafts from the Associated Press and CBS Sports, those are the only players that are going to get drafted, and neither of those are my sources. My main source comes from an off-the-beaten-path, and they're not on it. So it could be interesting to see what happens with the Kentucky players tonight. This is Cal's favorite night of the year, or at least that's what he proclaims. Calipari has always been a fixture at the NBA draft since he started coaching at Kentucky, and for good reason. He puts a lot of players in the NBA. As of late, not so much. Now, the players that he does put in the NBA, if you're looking probability-wise, it's usually a colossal fail. Usually the players that go under Cal to the NBA are very poor NBA players. They were certainly great college players. I'm thinking of several right now that played well in college, but never did well in the NBA. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was one. He was projected, or he actually was drafted number two. He won Kentucky a national title. How well did he do in the NBA? Not good.
John Wall. John Wall did okay in the NBA, but not as well as what you would think. Scal Labissiere. So many. I mean, there's a list and list of names that I could go on. We don't even have time to even discuss it all. But that, folks, pretty much is your NBA draft. It will be interesting to see what happens tonight at 8 o'clock when Commissioner Adam Silver calls the names. And next week, we'll go over the results and we'll talk about everything draft-related in next week's episode. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in for another amazing episode of Off the Cuff. I want you to know that if you missed today's radio broadcast, you can follow the show on podcast. We post all episodes on podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. You can also follow the show on social media at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. You can follow me, the host, on social media at The Adam Banks. We release new episodes every Thursday from 4 to 5 right here on WLXU 93.9 FM, which means we will be back same time, same place, next Thursday from 4 to 5. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Adam Banks, and this is Off the Cuff. I'll catch you down the road. This place.